Sports Radio FNZ. We've got to get to the rundown in just a moment here, but more developments. Only have we seen Miles Turner in Charlotte or not. We just had a caller at the last segment talking about the fact that Jeremy Lamb, Pacers teammate of Miles Turner, owns a crib in South Park near Eddie's and has been seen there twice. We've got independent confirmation from the text line that they have also seen Jeremy Lamb at Eddie's, and I was just on Jeremy Lamb's Instagram because the text line told me to go there. Do you know where Jeremy Lamb is at right now?
Is he at Eddie's right now?
He is in Charlotte. There's a video within the last 6 hours of him hanging out with Devontae Graham.
Huh.
And a little birdie in my DMs said that they just called Eddie's place and had the hostess ask around about Miles Turner, but that no one on the current shift worked luncheon manager had left for the day. So they didn't get a denial. We can neither confirm nor deny that Miles Turner or a Miles Turner lookalike was at Eddie's.
Yet, Jeremy Lamb,
is
current
here.
Pacer, Devontae Graham, former teammate of Jeremy Lamb, and maybe Miles Turner. Do you smell a little workout, guys? Does it start to sound like a little run in the open court?
I'm just going to say, guys, I'm not saying, but I am saying. The more we hear on this, the more we will keep you guys updated. 704-570-9610 if you guys have a tip on that. Meanwhile, it is time for the rundown presented by Mark Spain Real Estate. John Michael Vincent of the Pacers organization joined Kyle Bailey in the clubhouse today and shared his thoughts on potential future Hornet currently walking around the streets of Charlotte. maybe potentially that is Miles Turner.
I've always supported Miles around here, and I like Sabonis as well. I thought Miles, with a lot of fans around here, a lot of media folks, have been given somewhat of a raw deal. Everybody's always complaining about what he's not doing instead of embracing what he does do. And you saw it this year especially. This team's perimeter defense is a joke. I mean, it is awful. And when Miles was out, when you didn't have that layer of rim protection, then you just saw how bad they were on the perimeter.
That's on you, my guy.
I'm just thinking about, yeah, I keep trying to talk myself out of this Miles Turner deal because I can't get the 2 years and $35 million left remaining on his contract. I can't get it out of my head. But I just keep going back to how many Hornets games we watched that it was just obvious. It was a layup line some nights. And Miles Turner will negate a lot of that. And what did I say? He's almost 7 foot. With a 7'2 wingspan, I just had it, but I lost it.
I've had a few people say,
wingspan.
Miles, so if we compare, like if it came down to Miles for PJ Washington.
Straight up wouldn't work though, the money.
Well, no, it would once you got into the new league year. Because you could accept that money, you'd only be taking on 13 extra million, which would fit into the salary cap space you have.
Okay. You're using the cash to offset it. Okay.
So if that was part of the goal. Get a similar player for Indiana without having to pay him. If that was what this was about. I could see Indiana doing that, especially if there was another move where they were taking on a bigger salary to put next to Domantas Sabonis. I could see that. I think people's response here in Charlotte is Miles better than PJ? I think from an offensive perspective, PJ's a slightly better shooter from the outside. I think PJ might have a little bit higher upside offensively. But the trade-off is you have a modern five. Like, if PJ's playing the five more than 10 minutes a night, you're screwed.
No doubt.
Because he's just going to get bowled over. And while Miles isn't a perfect matchup up against every center,
you have a better chance. Yeah.
There's, like, negligible change from an outside shooting perspective. I think PJ's a little bit better scorer, but I think Miles is a significantly better defender. If that was the swap, straight up, they save $13 million a year the next 2 years, and you get the rim protection you need, I would seriously consider that deal. Seriously consider it.
Especially with Miles Bridges playing the way that he was playing at the end of the season. I can now just play. I can start Miles at the four to go alongside the front court with Miles Turner. So our front court would be Miles and Miles, spelled differently, if we move PJ.
Number two.
Coach Mike Malone of the Denver Nuggets called out his team for quitting in last night's, whatever it was, 23, 25. It was a lot of damn points. 25-point loss to the Phoenix Suns to go down 0-2. MVP Nikola Jokic disagreed with his head coach.
Nikola, you obviously heard what Malone said. You were out there. You saw what was going on the floor. Did you feel like guys quit tonight?
I mean, I don't think so. The guys quit. You know, when you're losing a lot, you can always kind of put your head down. Maybe we put your hand up, put hand down, but head down. But I'm not sure that they quit. I didn't quit, so I'm not gonna talk about myself.
Joker, I don't think that was. I think Joker should have followed his coaches. I think Joker should have lit up his teammates. The reality is Nikola Jokic was decent last night. He's got a tough matchup. Ayton is a tough matchup because Ayton's incredibly athletic and is pretty strong too. Jokic can't do it by himself, and that's the position he's been put in. And you can see guys hang their head. So Mike Malone was just speaking the truth. I think Joker should have allowed this to be... I get it. He's the nice guy. He loves his teammates. I think he should have sounded off as his teammates as well, because you're going into Denver in a do-or-die situation now in Game 3. It's okay to lose. It's not okay to be non-competitive against a team that you should be at least within 10 to 12 points of, even if you are going to lose.
Bruh, the Suns were only up 10 at the half. The third quarter, it exploded. Jay Crowder knocked down a couple threes. I saw Cyrus knock down some threes. And in a matter of minutes, they were down 17, ball game. And then from there, it just looked like Phoenix was having an exhibition game against University of Arizona. Like, Denver shut it down. And I look at Jokic and go, you want to be, and Shaq and Charles and the guys on Inside the NBA said it last night. Joker, you have to do more. You're the MVP. It's the same grief we give Giannis. When they don't get it done, Joker has to find a way to do more. And they didn't do it.
Number three.
Devin Booker, who's on the right side of the ledger last night, didn't have a great game, but they won the game. That's really all that matters. And he spoke after the win over Denver and said the Suns aren't stopping anytime soon.
We're playing high-level basketball, but, you know, we're taking it one game at a time. You know, that's our mentality. You know, we're not coming in thinking about, you know, two games from now or next series or what's going to happen. You know, we're coming in with the one game agenda because, you know, these games have their own personality, each and every one. And we understand that. I mean, we just went down 2-1 to the Lakers and, you know, it refilled us as a team and it brought us together. So, you know, we don't want to get what Monty says, happy on the farm. So that's our mentality. We're just taking it one game at a time.
That's my guy, Devin Booker, of the shooting guard for the Phoenix Suns. You know why Phoenix is doing well? It's not just because of Chris Paul. It's not just the home court, although that helps. It's on the other side. The Phoenix Suns, first in points allowed, first in opponents' field goals made, first in opponents' 3 points and opponents' field goal percentage. In these playoffs, this is the best defensive team. That's why they're winning. This is the formula.
It's going to be... So, it's funny because I think Phoenix is winning more than Denver is losing up until the effort issues in the second half. But Phoenix is winning more than Denver is losing. I still don't know that they're long enough. When it comes time, if they were to face off against the Nets in the playoffs, I still don't know they're long enough to deal with Kevin Durant properly. And I still, so defensively.
Should Phoenix get out of the Western Conference?
That's the one guy that I'm worried about in a matchup with them, because they match up otherwise. Like Mikal Bridges matches up size wise decently with Kawhi. who's 6'7". Mm-hmm. He matches up decently with PG-13.
Okay.
So, like, that's the other team that I'd be afraid of. Here's the other thing. Even if they can slow down KD a little bit, do you have enough offense to go toe-to-toe with Brooklyn? Do you have enough offense to go toe-to-toe
with
the Clippers?
Nobody does. Not against Brooklyn. Nobody has that type of firepower. If Harden is healthy, and he's going to be out tonight as well. If Harden is healthy, good night. Nobody's beating them. Not in a seven-game series.
I don't know about that just yet. But you're probably right, but I don't know about that just yet. I need to see somebody actually step up and play the way that a team can play against them instead of cowering at the overall talent.
I think if you got physical with them, and I thought with the additions of Drew Holiday, and PJ, I thought they would be a little more physical.
Wow. I'd like to see some of that physicality today. 704-570-9610. Are the Nuggets down and out? Are you counting them out? Are their shoulders on the mat? Millions have been vaccinated. They are safe, effective, and free. Get the facts you need at mechnc.gov. We've got a lot to get into. We've got what you burning on coming up in just about 30 minutes here on the show. But we talked about Bill Barnwell's dislike of the Panthers offseason. Well, Pro Football Focus has taken a number there in line as some Panthers doubter. That's next on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. What you burning on coming up in about 25 minutes. Sports Radio WFNZ is an all-new updated app. Go to your iTunes or Android app store, type in Sports Radio WFNZ and download. It's that easy. Hear the latest on the Hornets and Panthers, plus get more sports news in our social feed. Get connected, and stay updated with Sports Radio WFNZ app. We were going to get into a Panthers topic here, but there's a lot of breaking news from the world of college football earlier today. It was confirmed by multiple reports that the study of the college football playoff expansion was going to recommend, as has been kind of reported over the last couple days, going to 12 teams instead of 8 teams. Well, the 4-person panel who've been looking into this study are actually speaking now, including SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Stan. Mm-hmm. So not only do we have confirmation from them that the recommendation, when the ADs meet up and they present their findings to the playoff committee in Chicago in mid-July, not only are they going to go to 12 teams, but as also reported, there will be 4 byes for the top 4 seeds, mm-hmm. and 5 through 12 seeds will play each other as well.
At the home sites. Because we thought that the bowl games might be a part of the first round.
Narrative that the college football ADs were concerned about saving the bowl system, apparently not.
So they could do it in the second round. There's mm-hmm. still a way you could designate the New Year's 6
mm-hmm.
as the next round. And then that would be the semifinals, if I'm playing that out. Mm-hmm. And I think that would make the college, the 4 that emerge, you could still keep the CFP.
I feel like this is a missed opportunity. I think it would be cool if you're the team that gets to host a playoff game on your campus. That'd be cool. But I'll be honest with you. I think you could have done both things. You could have found a way to save more bowls, make them more relevant, and also expanded the playoffs. You could have done both things. I think it's not college football and the ADs turning on the bowl system, but this doesn't answer the other biggest question in football, which is how do you make more of those bowls relevant, which, by the way, is another huge piece of the pie financially.
So I'm just looking at what the matchups would have been off last year. I heard everything you just said, but I'm trying to factor in. So the Cotton Bowl,
mm-hmm.
it's one of the New Year's 6, but let's just roll with it. Texas A&M, because they finished in the CFP at 5, versus Coastal Carolina at 12. You interested in watching that?
I mean, I'll watch it. Yes, I would.
5.
I would be interested, but because Coastal Carolina's down the road, not because, like, if that was, hell.
If you're back in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Would you watch that game?
Absolutely not. Okay. The same way if 12 was Akron.
No, I got one for
here,
you.
I wouldn't expect anyone here to watch Akron versus as a sacrificial lamb to Texas A&M.
Number six OU versus IU in a 6-11 matchup.
Easy there. Billy's right there. Hawkeye Billy's right there.
IU Oklahoma in the Outback Bowl in Jacksonville. You watching that?
I would watch that. Those are two cool programs.
Now, it starts to get a little bit better. Georgia, Iowa State. I'm sorry, excuse me. Florida at 7, Iowa State at 10. I think I did that right. Maybe I did that wrong. But anyway, 8-9 would be Cincinnati, Georgia.
So interesting other caveats about this. And again, if you guys are just joining us, the college football study of the study panel, which includes major ADs including commissioners, including SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, are recommending that the college football playoffs go to 12 teams, expand from 4 to 12 teams instead of 4 to 8 teams. And Greg Sankey actually talked about this. And Greg Sankey's exact quote was, there was an expectation for automatic access that doesn't work if you are reducing opportunities for those highly ranked. So that's why the SEC likes 12 spots versus 8. The SEC knows they're going to get more teams in there.
They get more teams in, more revenue for the conference.
And it's a way to protect the top 4 teams. Like, so it helps the Floridas, the Georgias, I almost said the Tennessees, but let's be real.
Florida, Georgia.
Auburn.
LSU.
LSU, that's a great one. So it helps the other, Texas A&M, you just mentioned. A&M, yeah. But it also helps Alabama. They're still, all right. So because who wins, who gets the automatic bid, because that still matters, it's a way to also keep the regular season matchup between Alabama and Georgia still interesting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I look at it this way. In a funky world where, and this happened, I think Alabama had one loss. Georgia got to the SEC championship game, got beat by Alabama. So now the SEC champion has one loss out of the West, and the SEC champ out of the SEC runner-up had one loss. In a funky year, both of those are part of the four. Mm-hmm. But then you got another 3, 4, 5 teams in the rest of the conference. Like, this is Sankey making sure he maximizes on his conference.
Also interesting here, Notre Dame, Jack Swarbrick, their AD, has confirmed Notre Dame cannot qualify for a first-round bye.
Unless they're one of the four?
No, they cannot qualify for a first-round bye at all because they're not in a conference.
Wow.
So, hey.
Did they agree? I mean, I'm just thinking through. Why would they agree to that?
Because they don't have a lot of leverage in this. Because the answer from everybody else will be, hey, you know that ACC thing you did last year? If you want the first round bye, go earn it the right way and join a conference.
But of the 12 teams represented here, guys, there's only maybe 2 that are going to bring as many eyeballs as me. My alumni base, although the team success hasn't been there in the CFP, I bring eyeballs to this new format.
Notre Dame can win that against Iowa. Notre Dame can win that against
the eyeball
Auburn.
Contest?
Yes.
Notre Dame has more eyeballs than Alabama and Georgia if you combined them. Facts.
I'm going to need to see those facts. Billy, what do you have over there?
So my biggest concern with this is, and I know that the whole landscape is changing with name, image, and likeness, is I just fear that the biggest thing that we forget about when we're having these conversations is player safety, is amateurism, is workload in terms of being a student first. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying I think that these guys are playing at a professional level and I think they deserve to get paid for it. Mm-hmm. But under the current landscape, they're not. So how can you tell a young man that's not even getting paid? Look, man, you might make a 12 seed. And in theory, if you win the national championship, or if you play in the national championship, how many games did you just play while handling a fall semester?
Well, they're gonna
That's unreal,
back.
Man.
They're going to scale back some games, just like they did this year.
It's a fair concern, but I think what we know to be true in amateur athletics, sorry, in college football and college basketball, they are athletes first. And they're students next.
That's fine,
that's just
but
what
pay
this
them.
Drives home.
Then pay them. Let them be athletes first.
As the guy in the room that was a Power 5 athlete, I'd like to say a word.
Mm-hmm.
So,
by the way, humble brag.
No, that's just context.
Mm-hmm.
Small humble brag.
Yeah, was listen, that,
I might still make the NC State fishing team.
Was that Tachish?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So I'm cool.
So
with
was
that.
The shirt.
So what was it? My last year at VA, we went 9-5. Yeah. So we played it because we played the preseason classic. We didn't make, there was no championship game then. Then we played in a bowl game, but somehow there was an extra game that year too. We ended up playing 14 weeks. Billy, we talk about it now, just when we get around and shooting the breeze. That hurt, man. You're almost playing the NFL schedule right there.
With the added multiple games if you're a 12 seed, yes.
And this is BCS era, correct?
Yeah.
So we're talking a completely different landscape now, even at 4 playoff games.
But what they're saying is, like, let's take Alabama. Alabama was going to get a bye anyway. Like, take the 12 out. It was going to be a month from SEC championship to college football playoff anyway. So the kids' schoolwork and none of the training, none of that changes. It sucks, though, for the 12 seed or the 11 seed that's going to upset somebody. Now they got to go play again. It's going to be a long year for somebody.
The other element of this that I understand why people got it in their heads. No, it should be 6 teams, or it should be 8 teams, or it's 10 teams, or 12 teams, or 16 teams. I stopped, and it's probably been the last 6 months, I stopped caring about the specific amount of teams because I do think there could be a positive unintended consequence. Right now, there are about 5 teams that have the best chance to make the playoffs every single year. Occasionally, we'll have another one pop through, but it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia. Those are the teams that have been most represented in the college football playoff.
Oregon is in that
group. Oregon has been in that, but like it's like 5 or 6 teams.
Sure.
The one benefit here is there are going to be more teams that get that extra money, and money's one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the extra lens from the national standpoint, let's be real honest here. If you aren't in the playoffs, most years, you don't have a national lens on you outside of a primetime game against Alabama or a primetime game against Ohio State or a primetime game against Texas or Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So for teams, like in the ACC, for teams trying to battle with Clemson, if you're UNC, the gap between Virginia. UNC and Clemson can get narrowed if you can put together 2 or 3 straight years or 3 out of 4 years or, you know, 6 out of 8 years. If you can get into the playoffs and be part of the national consciousness as one of those 5 through 12 seeds over the course of and be that part of that next rung down, I do think that could have a positive fallout from all of this, that the attention and the extra financial incentive of making the playoffs, I don't think it helps people catch Clemson because they're just on another level. But I think it can be part of the process that evens out the next run under Clemson.
See, I don't necessarily view it that way in the Power Five. Here's the way I look at it. Virginia has enough money to be more competitive. So does Chapel Hill. So does NC State. Right now, when you start getting down, all due respect to Duke and Wake Forest, they're going after different kids.
Bless their heart.
Like, it's just different kids, no doubt. But, like, what Clemson is pumping into their program, and we have to remember, Clemson wasn't always Clemson. Florida State was the big dog, and then Clemson chipped away at that by going to get dudes. And dudes want to go play on Sunday, and dudes want to be a part of tradition. I don't know that you can replicate that at some of these places you're talking about.
704-570-9610. The study, the commission that is to study college football playoff expansion is going to officially recommend going from 4 teams to 12 teams. Did they get it right? And we are excited here to announce the reopening of America and the return of Sky Show fireworks this 4th of July. Since 1976, there's no better way to celebrate the 4th of July than with family, friends in Charlotte Knights baseball and the biggest and best 4th of July fireworks show in the Southeast. It's the return of Sky Show, Sunday, July 4th. Truist Field in Uptown. Visit WFNC.com for details. What you burning on next on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNC. Nick and Stan with you. Final segment here. Millions have been vaccinated. They are safe, effective, and free. Get the facts you need at mechnc.gov. We got What You Burning On coming up in about 5 minutes. If you want to get on the last call, 704-570-9610. It can be about the college football playoff expansion, which we just talked about. The recommendation will be that they go to 12 games instead of going to 8 games. It could be about Bill Barnwell's thoughts on the Panthers offseason, or Devin Booker in Phoenix, CP3's run. It could be sports, entertainment, whatnot. Be whatever you want. Last call coming up in about 5 minutes, 704-570-9610. But Stan, big thanks to a couple of our guests, Matthew Gutierrez and Roman Harper. Great stuff with both those gentlemen.
He and Kyle Bailey got a podcast. I think it's called Bailey and Harper.
I believe so. With that, big night in the NBA tonight. The NBA playoffs roll on. Game two tonight. Bucks hosting the Nets in a very similar situation to where the Denver Nuggets, after last night's walloping at the hands of the Phoenix Suns, find themselves in. It is a put-up-or-shut-up moment for the Bucks. And looking at what everyone is saying about this game, ESPN's matchup predictor gives Milwaukee a 55% chance to win this game. I still feel good about Milwaukee, the team, meaning their construction. But I'm going to need to see a championship mentality from this team tonight for them to get the win. I need a statement win tonight by Milwaukee.
This is the biggest game of Giannis's life.
That's fair.
Because if he gets embarrassed, if a two-time reigning MVP, we know that Nikola Jokic just got it from the Nuggets, but prior to Jokic getting it the other day, if a two-time reigning MVP allows his team to get swept without James Harden, this is going to be something we won't forget. And it's going to be really embarrassing.
It'll be the Boston loss for LeBron.
Yeah.
Where it took LeBron going to Miami. Yeah. Then there became the Dallas loss. But then, like, LeBron needed to win a title to reclaim his legacy, because a lot of the Jordan talk stopped after that Boston loss, though LeBron had already been to the NBA Finals at that point.
And did some Jordan could do and drag some bums to the Finals, but nobody remembers that.
The
Bucks
other game
tonight favored by 3.5. Go ahead.
The other game tonight, Utah at home, hosting up 1-0 in that series, hosting the Clippers here.
Spider Mitchell.
I haven't seen any report on Mike Conley and whether he'll play tonight.
I've heard now, just social media saying out.
I'm looking at this. If the Clippers really waste 2 games with no Mike Conley, they deserve to lose this series. I still think that the Clippers have a chance to not just win this series, but represent the Western Conference, because they are the most talented team left. When you consider 2 top 20 players in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, plus all the veterans that they have, I still have no idea if they have the culture to win.
Well, I know they don't have the culture.
But they have the talent to win. This is the kind of game to come back and steal one in Utah. This would be kind of the game that you can... I just can't see, you cannot continuously dig yourself in 2-0 series holes and expect yourself to be bailed out of the Staples Center, where half the people don't give a bleep about you anyways.
Yeah, that's very fair. Jazz tonight, favored by 2.5. Look, they just like Luka gave them work in last year's bubble and this year, taking them to a game 7, being up in that game, and then Kawhi went crazy. Donovan Mitchell is as good. Donovan Mitchell can explode. I'm picking Utah tonight to win game 2. I just don't trust the Clippers. They bother me. The way they're constructed, I have a ton of respect for a championship coach in Ty Lue. But look, Quinn Snyder and the Jazz are for real. I think they were the number 1 seed, and they made more threes than anybody else in the league.
Real quick, as a fan base that we don't have representation here, unless you count Frank Kaminsky's bum ass on Phoenix. But as somebody who's not represented in these playoffs, what's the best possible NBA finals we could have? NBA finals. I'm not talking about what's the best possible for Charlotte, because there isn't one. Because I think the best possible NBA finals doesn't involve the Brooklyn Nets. Because I think the Brooklyn Nets, if they make it to the NBA finals, are going to roll over any of these teams in the West.
See, I actually think the Nets versus the Clippers is the best matchup. Mm-hmm. All stars everywhere, names we know everywhere, and the backcourt and the wings of the Clippers have a chance at guarding Kyrie, James Harden, and KD. I would still pick the Nets in that series.
So I'm torn because I think it would be really cool. I think I would love to see a Milwaukee versus Utah. I would love to see a Milwaukee versus Phoenix. Because to go back to what J.A. Adande said a couple days ago,
he was on with us.
It's not just about teams we haven't seen in the NBA Finals. It's about players we haven't seen in the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. That would be like Giannis going for his first chip with Middleton, Jrue Holiday.
Going up against CP,
small market team versus either Utah with Donovan Mitchell looking for his first chip or Chris Paul, the legacy run. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not the most interesting. That's not get the most eyeballs. But for me as an NBA fan, that would be the most interesting for me. That's the one I root for. And that doesn't mean I don't like the guys in Brooklyn personally, but I think that's where most people want to see Brooklyn versus LA. I think most people would agree with you.
That matchup, Phoenix versus, what did you say? You said the
Jazz versus Milwaukee or Phoenix versus Milwaukee.
Here's the thing I would like to see in that matchup. Giannis and Middleton and those guys driving. And then you got the defensive player of the year, three of the last four times, Rudy Gobert, for the Jazz standing there.
704-570-9610. Again, two big games in the NBA tonight. Clippers-Jazz, game two. That is a late tip. We also have a do-or-die game three for Milwaukee hosting the Nets in game three down 2-0. It is time for What You're Burning On. Last call, 704-570-9610. Usually start with Stan, but Zane's been waiting on hold here. Zane, what you burning on, my guy?
Hey, guys. What's up?
What up?
Not much, man. What you got?
Okay, so we've heard that the Hornets might be trading for Miles Turner. What are you guys willing to give up for Turner? For me, or would you guys be willing enough to give like a first-round pick this year or a couple of seconds for a player?
I would be more likely to give up P.J. Washington straight up or even Terry Rozier than I would a pick or anything like that. I think you already have enough good players. Now it's can you upgrade on the good players you have, and I think Miles Turner would be an upgrade over P.J.
But do you think, since PJ is so much younger than Miles, that's worth keeping PJ if he develops into something more than we had this year?
So look at it this way. This is how I choose to look at it. If you bring in Turner, between Miles and PJ, who has the higher upside? I think it's Miles. We're seeing about what we're going to see from PJ.
See, I think PJ has the higher offensive upside.
Agreed.
But I think Miles, it's about where is the upside. Miles in terms of switchability, Miles in terms of just rim protection, he changes your team. And that allows you, if you don't have to give up 11 or Rozier or Devonta, you don't have to give up one of those guys, then you can allow those pieces to be put towards raising your overall ceiling and getting another top 50 player next to LaMelo and Gordon Hayward.
First of all, if it was a pick, it's lottery protected.
Absolutely fair.
And then I would send Rozier, as much as I love Terry, I'd send Rozier, you give me Miles Turner, and a future second. I like that deal.
Zane, be well, my guy.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, bro.
Thank you so much. Good call from Zane there. 704-570-9610. Stan, what you burning on?
College football playoff likely to expand to 12. The big wigs are chopping it up. Look, go play, people. Alabama, the top dog in the land. They just agreed to a home-and-home with Oklahoma State. So here's like the next 13, and I won't read every single one of them, but here are some teams. Alabama in the SEC West, the toughest division in all of college football. They're at Texas, at Wisconsin, at Oklahoma State, at Ohio State. Give me some of that Notre Dame. Who else is in there? Oklahoma, Virginia Tech. Go play, people. And you don't have to worry about a league expansion. Whether you're Coastal, whether you're, IU, like, go schedule, dudes. Who's my other one? Central Florida. Go play, people. Alabama does, Texas does, Ohio State does. I'm talking about out of your conference. If that's just so I don't want to hear that it takes 12 and it's got to be fair. Go create your fairness.
I am burning on – I had it and I lost it. I was burning on something for a few minutes. You know what I'm burning on? Oh, I am burning on the amateur detectives that listen to this station. If you guys missed in the 4 o'clock hour, Jim Salania either saw Miles Turner, Pacers big, or someone that looked like him at Eddie's in South Park. And the veracity of our listenership who stalked him on Instagram, who stalked Jeremy Lamb, who helped us concoct theories that Miles Turner could be hanging out in the Queen City. I am overwhelmed at the amount of talent we have and precision and intelligence. You guys, you done well. I think we pretty much confirm Miles Turner is going to be a Charlotte Hornet this year.
Let's not start rumors, but... Yeah. There are some rumors.
We're not reporting. We're just starting rumors.
Don't write them.
Yes, we did not write it. And thank you again for Jimmy for not writing it, but telling us so we could bring that to the air.
There are legitimate breadcrumbs. Miles Turner. You'd be a welcome sight.
Just as long as you don't overpay.
Yeah.
Stan, good stuff today, my guy.
Always, man.
Billy, great stuff.
Appreciate you, Bill.
I still like the mustache. Rafi Palmeiro, Sal Fasano, the look is going very well for you. Kudos to Mrs. DeMarlin as well.
Party in the back.
That?
Yeah, professional up front, party in the back. That's right.
That does it for us, guys. For Nick, Stan, and Billy, until tomorrow at 2 p.m., stay safe and good, Charlotte.
Lord, I love you, Carolina.